Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
You know that sound? You know what that means?
Yeah, I think it's back.
Blog Talk Radio. That's right. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
Blog Talk Radio, 12 Man Sports. We're officially right back at you. Of course, it's been a minute for one of us, but other than that, we're still good to go. Of course, we're having a good time. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12 Man. I'm going to say, if Rob falls asleep again, I'm going to Draymond Green him. I'm just going to like hit him low, hit him high, all that fun stuff.
Hey man, don't hit me in the family jewels.
Then I'm going to go Harrison Barnes. And
I know, right?
Give you like a nice little... Man, of course, we're talking sports with 12, man. You know, Rob, you know it was coming too, man. So a lot of love. But anyway, let's check in with my crew. This is first and foremost. JQ, how you doing today?
Thank y'all for holding out a fort last week. I appreciate it.
I'm good. We back up in this thing like, whoa. We got Van Winkle back with us here, so... I had all kind of notes ready
for the show and everything. I was ready.
Yeah, we were sitting here like, I hope Rob is not like in jail or, you know, something happened. he talked to us and he was ready. Then he just didn't show up.
Man, I put a lot of time into that, too.
That was like, man, Rob didn't show up like the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. That's what it's all about, man.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Rob, how you doing, sir? How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, he started the whole show with that one. Everybody just said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, not much you can say after that.
I was going to say, how are you doing this evening, sir? You got some time. Anything you want to say, sir?
Are you referring to me or JQ?
I said, Rob, how you doing this evening, sir? That's what I said.
Oh, man, doing great, man. I'm awake this week. I'm excited to be back. Thank y'all for holding down the fort last week. I had a little mishap last week, America. I decided to take a little nap before the show, and I set an alarm, never heard it. I don't know what happened. And the fellas, they didn't even call and wake me up. See how low down they are?
I texted and said, hey, Rob, Paige and Rob. But if you didn't hear the alarm, you definitely didn't hear the text.
Yeah, that's true. It's tough because, you know, I've got one line. I probably could have, like, called Marcy, you know, another line. But at that juncture, we were just ready to go. So, anyway, apologies. We've gone through our shenanigans here. Of course, let's kind of get the show started here. 424-243-9519. That's the number. Find us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We're on Facebook. Go to TalkingSports.com, or you can find us and put in Talking Sports 12, and you'll find us in that thing. So, anyway, that was kind of sped up, but everyone gets the gist if you listen to the show, as always. Facebook.com/TalkingSports12, you'll find us in that. So, anyway, I said today is June the 7th. Let's kick this off. Let's recap the first two games of the NBA Finals. And Rob, we've been messing with you, so I'm going to – yeah. I'm going to let Rob start. I'm going to let Rob start, JQ, because he's been – you know, so, Rob, anything you want to talk about for the first two games here, for the finals here?
Well, I think everybody in America is seeing the same thing. We're seeing a total domination by the Golden State Warriors. I mean, the team is, they're playing about 10 deep, and everybody that's stepping on the floor is contributing in some way. And the crazy thing about it is they're blowing out the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're not even getting crazy numbers from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I mean, they just have a lot of guys that have just been able to step up here in these first two games, and they're getting contributions from their entire roster practically. And this is just a bad matchup for Cleveland. They just do not match up well with these Golden State Warriors. And you can't make any excuses for Cleveland this year. I mean, they're healthy, and they're actually playing worse than what they did last year without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And so I think if you're the general manager of Cleveland, you're going to have to figure out something and on how you can improve this team in the offseason. Obviously, they're good enough to win the East, but they, I mean, you can almost make a case they probably would not have even beaten Oklahoma City or the Spurs if they were in the finals either. So, I mean, you can easily make a case that the Cavaliers might have been the fourth best team in the NBA this year. So this is pretty ugly. I don't expect the Cavs to win the game. I expect this to be a sweep. And I think you're looking at a dynasty here by the Golden State Warriors here. I think you're looking at a team that's probably got a few more championships in them, keeping this roster intact here. So this is, I think you're looking at something special with this Golden State Warriors team.
JQ, wow, on you.
Well, yeah,
and the Cavs are getting killed on the boards too. It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you gotta let Rob go first, because when you let short people like myself, you know, start talking about basketball, we get it wrong about half the time. I did not see Cleveland just laying down. This has been a domination, a blowout. I mean, Cleveland has quit. They made Cleveland quit twice in Oakland, and you could see it on their faces. They quit. If they're going to play like this, then we can't stop them, so let's just go to the next game. There's nothing really more to add and still off of what Rob had. I mean, at some point, you just got to come and show up to play. And when everybody on Golden State's team has come ready to play and is amped to play, and Cleveland is not, you know, and LeBron hasn't really even played great. You know, he's got a lot of turnovers. Kevin Love, you know, getting knocked out with an elbow from Green in the back of the head. I think he just used that as an excuse because he played so poorly. And Kyrie has just been a turnstile on defense. I mean, it's really bad. And to your point, Rob, I don't know what they can do because they're already a tax-paying team. And even with the cap going up, you know, once you maxed out Tristan Thompson, where else do you go? Because you can't trade him because nobody's trading for that contract, right? So It's tough. They're stuck with who they stuck with. They got to figure something out. They're going to have to get somebody like a David West to come and take an $11 million pay cut because they feel like they can get to the finals with that Cleveland team because the East is so bad. But, I mean, for some pride, they've got to at least win one in Cleveland because you can't see them getting any game in Oakland. I thought they could get one, but after these first two games, I have to reverse that thought process because it's not even close. And like you said, it's not even close without the top two players from Golden State even really making their mark on the series, so to speak. I mean, they're doing okay, but they're not showing out. And they're still blowing the Cavs out. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. And, you know, the crazy thing is we saw in the Eastern Conference playoffs, the Cavaliers were shooting a three-point ball extremely well.
Yeah.
You're just not seeing that here in the finals. J.R. Smith has been a disappearing act. You're not getting anything from Channing Frye off the bench. A lot of these guys that were shooting the ball so well in the Eastern Conference playoffs, they have not even been around to even do anything here in the finals here. And then Iman Shumpert with that hairdo, man. Oh, man, what was that?
Don't get me started. You always see it on Facebook. If these dudes don't get a pick and some stay so soft or something for these boxes so they can get some of these kinks, at least look like you're trying. You know, like, don't come out like you just rolled out the bed, like, you know, we're playing ball today. I don't need no pick. I'm balling. I'm rugged. I'm not getting no fade. Like, come on, man. You got to at least get a fade and pick it out or cut it off or do something. You're not setting a good example for the people watching. Just come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know we're not into fashion and hair, but, man, I just had to bring that up.
Man, I was with you on that. They're killing me with that. They're killing me with that.
Wow. Okay. Well, as I try to pull this back, I just want to let you guys know that was some good analysis. I got to say both you guys stole my thunder, definitely regarding the fact that, yeah, I mean, this is sad how the Warriors are just kind of, like, running through them. And like you said, Rob, JQ, I mean, Steph Curry hasn't really blown up just yet. I mean, and you haven't had their best game yet. So that's the scary thought.
Right.
I think this is the ramifications, guys, of what happened in Golden State. They actually came back with the Thunder, so they're like, this is not going to happen. I'm not quite sure they're going to sweep them, Rob, but I think it seems to be a done deal that they are definitely on a mission here. And I will definitely say that my analysis last week. I know I was talking about I thought that the league wanted LeBron to get one, and I'm going to have to strike that from the record because clearly they don't care about that at all. And,
yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, I never believed so that to be the case.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, conspiracy theory. Come on, man. So,
I mean, Cleveland got to the finals because they were the best team in the East, not because the NBA wanted them to get to the finals.
Well,
I mean, you look at those teams they had to play.
Yeah, we're talking about flying elbows to the back of the head and all the other crazy stuff that ain't being called. I know where Andre is going with that. Like, Golden State is getting a little leeway. Let's just be honest. But they taking it to Cleveland. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, they if you can kick somebody in the balls and get fined and double tees, but you can just fly. Because remember, they normally go to the video monitor. He came and caught him with an elbow to the back of the head. And I still feel like Kevin Love used that as a cop-out. But every other time we've seen something close to that in the playoffs, they've at least gone to the monitor to review it. And they did not even review that. That wasn't even a common foul. So I knew where Dre was going with that statement.
I was just saying, man. And, you know, like, you know, Draymond Green, he can't control his legs, man. That's the problem. He just can't control his legs, man. So I'm gonna go with that. But that too. I do want to, before you talk about Kobe real quick, Rob, I do want to talk about this because, you know, we're going to talk about next year, and you talked about the possibly a dynasty. Not quite sure about the Warriors because, you know, obviously I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Curry's contract has to be up, and there's some things that we got to talk about, or this may not be the same team coming into next year, too, from what we're hearing, too, because, you know, Harrison Barnes is going to hit the open market, if you're hearing that. Barboza, Azeli, and what's his name, Spice, something like that, they may not return. So that's going to be a huge challenge for the Warriors if you're talking about dynasty. I'm sure they can get certain pieces. And then you got to talk about as well what Andrew Bogut is like. We don't need, you know, Kevin Durant. And my father-in-law, shout out to Dad, he was a kind of similar to Bogut. He's like, I don't think we need Kevin Durant because it's going to mess up the chemistry. So do you think that's the case? I know it's kind of a lot to think about. Jake, I'm going to throw that to you first. Is that kind of good, or is Bogut kind of right, or what do you think about that statement?
Bogut is talking crazy. Look here and listen real closely. If Kevin Durant says, hey, I'm trying to come to Golden State, they will renounce Spates and Azeli and Harrison Barnes to get Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant only results to that hero ball with Westbrook because they don't have a level of trust. If he goes to Golden State where they already have that double level of trust and you're playing with Draymond and Curry and Thompson, you don't have that problem of I have to do it by myself. I have to play hero ball to win. I think you will see the best Durant that you've ever seen. Actually, his scoring numbers may come down because he won't have to carry so much of the load. But I think his assist numbers and his rebound numbers will go up. So I'm not going to say that. If you get a chance to get a talent like Kevin Durant, you do it. I don't care what you say because, yeah, I'm going to let Harrison Barnes go. Sorry. But, yeah, bye, Harrison. Please just don't go to the Lakers for a crazy deal. Please, please don't do that.
Rob Ford.
Well, this is a tough one to me, but I'm kind of on the side of, I wouldn't want to mess up the chemistry of the team at this current moment. I don't, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If you're winning championships with the way this team is structured at the moment, then I would try to keep most of that team intact until you get beaten off that throne. And, I mean, you look at this team right now, you got the Iguodala playing the small forward. And, I mean, what he's giving you on the defensive end, and he's giving you enough offensively as well. And I wouldn't – if I'm Golden State, I'm trying to keep the core pieces of this team together, and I wouldn't try to mess up, you know, a lot of the chemistry of this team. I know Kevin Durant is a big-time player. I mean, he did – you know, he did come up small quite a bit in that last series against the Warriors. And obviously that's got to be a little bit of a concern. And with the turnovers and his ball handling. But I think if you're Golden State, this team is proven that they can beat anybody in the league with their current roster intact. And I don't think I would try I don't think I would mess that up if I'm the Golden State, if I'm the general manager, Myers there. I try to keep that team intact.
No, man. You got to look at what San Antonio has done, where they tried to you know, bring Leonard on and bring Aldridge in to complement. My thing is, I think Iguodala will stay for less money to stay with that core. But if you're telling me
I'm going to give championship
up,
yet.
That's true. But if you're going to tell me I'm going to give up Spates and Azeli and Harrison Barnes, but I'm going to get Kevin Durant in return and I'm going to get Iguodala to take a little less money, to try to three-peat, I'm going to do that deal. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you don't need a bench that long if you got Curry, Thompson, Green, and Kevin Durant. I'm just saying, you don't have to be as deep as you are now when you add a talent like Kevin Durant.
Well, you know, you go back and think about what your Lakers did back when they went out and got Karl Malone and Gary Payton. I know those guys were near the end of their career.
They were 43.
Yeah, but still, you know what? You know that team. They went out and paid big money to have that foursome, and they did not have the depth to compete with the Detroit Pistons in the finals of that year. And so I'm still a little concerned. I'm still, you know, if I'm going to State, you know, I'm going to go to the well with the bucket that's getting me these championships.
I see what JQ's saying, though.
I know what JQ's saying, too, and he's making some good points. I definitely think he's making some good points, but, you know, we agree to disagree.
True. Well, I mean, I see what you say, because, like I said, I mean, you could get – if you get a Kevin Durant and you can get, like, some you know, league minimum players – he can get some players, you know, for the bench, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you don't have to have a strong bench pick because you already got like enough scoring right there. Just come in, hold serve. Oh, by the way, Kevin Durant, you play, you know, you got this court, you got this, you know, you got the third whatever squad, you know, and then it's just you talk about like last brothers. You talk
and if
about
you're Kevin Durant,
City.
Do you want to sign with the team that just beat you in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? Yeah, this is all pipe dream right now, but this is we'll see. Like I said, we talk about this kind of long and hard about what we thought's going to happen, you know, and we'll see. Like I said, you know, it's still a lot. I still think you talked about hero ball. I still think Russell Westbrook, he kind of regressed, and he kind of wanted to take over the game instead of like trusting his team again. So, you know, he's still got to mature in my vantage point too. But anyway, we talked about that a lot last week too, Rob. But anyway. Let's kick this off real quick, man. We're rolling, man. We got 13 minutes here. We got a lot of things to talk about.
Trying to throw me under the bus again, right?
No. That was just – I'll say we talked a lot. We talked – because we had, like, a lot of time. We talked a lot about that. It was not a – I promise, Rob. It was not a shot. You'll know when it's
selfishly. Selfishly, I hope Kevin Durant moves to the Eastern Conference, so that'd be one less team the Pelicans have to worry about going forward.
No, see my goodness.
We'll see. Really quick, Rob, what do you think about this? Kobe Bryant talked about the NBA needing a short season. What's that about?
Well, Kobe came out and he's basically saying that for the longevity of the players' careers, he thinks the long season is going to take its toll on some of the players, and especially your elite players. You're asking these guys to also play in the Olympics. And obviously, they have the right to decline as well. But, you know, you almost, you know, get frowned upon for turning down the opportunity to play in the Olympics and represent your country. And obviously, it'll be a lot of criticism that's going to come along with that. And I actually like the season of where it is. I mean, I wouldn't want to make any changes, but obviously I'm not the one that's out there playing 82 games and playing 30 games in the playoffs and then going out playing in the Olympics. And but he thinks that, you know, with them shortening the season, that these players could probably play easily into their late 30s or possibly early 40s, something like that. And but, you know, we'll see. I actually like it the way it is. It's been like this for quite some time. Obviously, you know, if you go back 20, 30 years ago, a lot of these players were not playing in an Olympics. So, but I also think we have better treatment and better doctors and things like that that can get these guys ready to play in a timely fashion too. So I personally would not make any changes. And I guess the only good thing is if they were to shorten the season, a lot of the regular season games would be even more important.
JQ?
Yeah, but that'll never happen because the almighty dollar, never going to happen. That's why the cap is going up right now. You've got to have those 82 games to pay these guys the amount of money they're making and with the cap going up.
Yep.
And my thing is this. They should actually lengthen the season, not in terms of the number of games, but if you cut down some of the preseason games that nobody cares anything about and you don't have them play as many back-to-backs, and then some of these playoffs, like right now, where you've got three days between games two and three, 3 days between games one and two. I mean, you don't need that much time. So they could find a way to finagle, you know, two games in between in the playoffs and shorten the preseason and not play so many back-to-backs and maybe lengthen the time of the season by a week or two, but not by the number of games. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't have as many back-to-backs. There's a way to go around it, and I think they'll do that first before they cut the games, because if you don't have that gate revenue, then you don't get paid the amount of money you get paid. And they're going to say that, oh, it's all well and good, until, you know, oh, I can't make $24 million a year. I can only make 19 because we're playing 15 less games a year. But let's go back to 82. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely.
I agree, Sue, just to say, just kind of comment. I'm going to go back. I sound like my dad here. You know, a little
get off my
back
line.
Whenever the team was that was good. But basically, back in the 90s and the early part of the NBA, a lot of the players, you know, we had, like, the full benches. Remember, we had your first five. You had your second five.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's like that anymore, too, because before, you know, I think it needs to go back to, you know, having your second unit is literally, you know, that's what I remember. You know, your first unit was good, then you had your second unit, and I think those players were played longer, and I think it's going to help the game. But I don't think it's going to get shortened at all because, like you said, money reasons and whatnot, too. So, Kobe, you're going to retire. Now you're going to make a statement. Boo, just, you know, go retire, man, and,
yeah.
You know, do your Ghostbuster commercials, man. Yeah, man.
Kobe,
yeah.
Tell me how my taste.
Oh, no, you did not. Pull that.
See?
Robin,
it tastes like fire rain.
Not firing. So, you're about the Warriors tonight. Apparently, a lot of love for the West Coast here. What about Bob Myers admitting the Warriors have been lucky over here, Rob? What's this about?
Well, I think this is what – I think anytime you have a championship team, there's a little luck that comes along with it. Not to say that this Warriors team is not great. And I think what Myers was referring to, how they've hit on a lot of these draft picks, you know, getting Curry and how, you know, I don't think they expected him to be this good, getting Thompson. And both of these guys were picking like number 6, 7, somewhere in that part of the draft. And then you get Draymond Green in the second round, and he's turned out to be the kind of player that he's turned out to be. And so that's the part where he's referring to about being lucky, not necessarily, you know, lucky to win a lot of these games, but just how they've hit on a lot of these players. And they wouldn't imagine. I mean, just a few years ago, they were debating on whether or not they should trade Monte Ellis or Klay Thompson. And so they were really close to trading Klay Thompson. And so this is a move that, you know, and so that's what he's referring to about how lucky they had been. They've just pushed the right buttons, you know, and at the times when they were pushing these buttons, they weren't expecting these kind of results. And so obviously I think anytime you're putting together a team, you have to have some kind of luck if you're going to have a championship kind of caliber team. And that's what Myers is referring to.
And there was an opportunity. I think they were going to trade for Kevin Love, too, if I'm not mistaken, earlier.
I think that's a player. If you're Cleveland right now, you got to be scratching your head. Why did we do this? And why do we give him 5 years, $110 million? That's one I think if you're Cleveland, you got to be regretting. And I think if you're Golden State, you got to be like, oh, we're ecstatic that we didn't make that deal because he's soft as Charmin tissue.
Marshmallow. Yeah. And the fact that Minnesota took not one, but 2 point guards before Curry and Johnny Clay and Ricky and Rubio in that draft before Curry fell to Golden State. So that's a lot of luck that fell to them. So, yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit for admitting it. But, you know, we made decisions we made, but a lot of luck played into it. Everybody passed on Draymond, including us, so we can get him in the second round. Minnesota, you know, they just sent Minnesota a championship ring for passing on Curry for not once but twice. So, I mean, you know, that kind of pieces of it did. But you got to give them credit for nailing their picks. But there's definitely some luck involved with what other teams did in front of them to allow them to acquire those players.
It's tough to measure somebody's heart, guys, too, because when you look at Steph Curry, I mean, you know, he was a skinny guy. You know, was he a point guard? Was he a shooting guard? You know, they didn't think, you know, he's a 6'3", 6'4" shooting guard. That just doesn't normally translate, you know, like we talked about, you know, last week, too. We talked about the clutch space. So, you know, yeah, they got lucky, and he just had the desire, even though he was killing it at Davison, you know, you didn't expect him to, you know, like you said, kind of develop to the MVP. I'll say the same thing about, you know, getting lucky, too. I mean, we passed over Chris Paul as the Hawks. We needed a point guard. I'm still upset about that. If I can build a time machine and go back in time, you needed a point guard. You get freaking Marvin Williams, and that's no knock on North Carolina. It was just like, come on, guys. and you said Deron Williams was too fast, so you passed on two point guards. But I digress. Anyway, mm-hmm. sorry. Oh, still heard about that one. Ben Simmons. Sorry, thank you for that. Ben Simmons is on the verge of a significant deal with Nike. Have you heard about this, JQ? Anything you want to talk about for this or what?
I did not hear about it, but I'm not necessarily surprised. I would give it to him only for the fact that dude couldn't keep a C-minus average, so he could be on the John Wilson Award list. I mean, I'm just gonna keep going back to that because that just takes me to another level of ignorance. But you know, he's gonna be the first first pick in the draft, and he's got so much hype surrounding him that I'm not necessarily floored by the fact that they're gonna do that. And you got Kobe moving on. And, of course, Kobe's going to still be around, but, I can't see Kobe's deal still being like what Michael does for Nike without Kobe playing right now. So they still got a little bit of money to play with, and not a little bit. I mean, Nike's printing money right now, so they can do what they want. So I'm not really surprised about that. It actually makes a lot of sense for him. I'm maybe a little surprised that Ben isn't looking to go somewhere else so he can be a face of another shoe because, you compete with the Kevin Durant and the Kobe's and the Michaels and the LeBrons of the world and Kyrie. But, Nike's so established, they got so much money, I'm not really surprised.
We got 40 seconds. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, as JQ mentioned, it's definitely not a surprise. But I think if I was running Nike, I wouldn't do it. And for the simple reason is I want to see a guy prove himself first before you throw a boatload of money like that. And I just wouldn't do it. I know my time is short. So I'll leave it at that. I would just wait for the guy to prove himself before I give him that kind of deal.
I was trying to save about a minute or two, guys, to talk about I know we're going to talk about the mock draft and the OT portion. But, I know last Friday we lost one of the greatest legends here, Muhammad Ali. We've been talking about it a lot. So really quickly, I just wanted to kind of just talk about that. Talk about a guy just game changer, trash talking, everything, loved it. The eyes can't see. Classic quotes, man. So I know you guys will talk about that really quickly. Just if you have anything you want to say about that, and then we can get to the OT. So I'll start with you, JQ, and I'll kick it with you, Rob, to set up the OT portion as well. So anything you want to say about that, JQ?
Yeah, I mean, just his, transcending, racial and gender lines and what he did outside of being in the boxing ring. And it just shows how today's athletes are failing to live up to that standard that he and the Jim Browns of the world lived up to because they're scared of losing money and putting themselves on the line. I wish that some of them would look at his passing and with everything that he did and taking the initiative to say, I'm not doing enough. Let me do more so I can keep on that tradition that Ali started for us.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, not only was he a great boxer, but he was a great humanitarian as well. So in all walks of life, JQ said it very well, and just an incredible human being, big-time trash talker, big-time entertainer, and definitely is going to be missed in the sports world. And, of course, like I said, he had a great impact even outside of the sports world as well.
Good deal. You got a minute. You got 90 seconds of the OT portion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, definitely stay tuned. Fortunately, we can't give you our OT portion live, so definitely click on the same link on tomorrow. We still have some NBA, some football to get into, maybe even a little tennis. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow. We got some NBA mock draft coverage and some more football coverage and things of that nature as well. So you definitely tune in on tomorrow when you get a break. And next week, we'll stay tuned. We'll give you some details on our show for next week. So definitely follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and we'll get you the information regarding next week's show out very soon. Thank you all for tuning in. Good night, people.
JQ.
San Diego, I'm coming. I'm debating whether or not I'm going to get that Gwynn 76 Gwynn jersey of San Diego's. I'm debating it. I really want to.
Do it. Do it.
I might.
That's
I
a classic right there.
I'll see y'all in a couple of years. Yes, sir. I'm thinking real hard about it, but appreciate you guys for tuning in. I'll catch you next week. Please download the podcast.
Yeah. Yes, and we appreciate everyone checking in. And I know we had a little rough, auspicious start there, but only because there's a lot of love, too. So, as always, we appreciate everyone listening to. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsportsandtalkmen, or if you put in Talking Sports, 12-Minute Sports, you'll find us in that aspect as well. All right, gentlemen, we are ready. We are officially into the OT portion, and let's kick it off. We were talking about Rob's favorite player, Ben Simmons, here. And, you know, so let's talk about the NBA mock draft. So, yeah, it looks like he is definitely going to be the number one pick at this juncture from what Philadelphia's talking about. They're even talking about moving around a couple players. Rob, I'll kick it off with you. Do you have your mock draft up? Or are you working on it? Or kind of where are you at in this particular stage right now?
Oh, no, I haven't posted it, so I apologize to our listener. I will be posting it, so definitely you'll see it up on our page here in the next day or two. But I have completed my first-round mock draft, and so I'll definitely get that up. Tonight, just for the sake of time, we'll just cover 1 through 10, and I'll skip on down to your Atlanta Hawks at 21. That'll be fair. You know, I like to cover our teams, but JQ's Lakers and my Pelicans are in the top 10, so we'll cover our teams in the top 10 there. And I'll skip on down to 21 and tell you what I see the Hawks possibly may be doing. Obviously, Ben – I'm sorry?
I said appreciate that. Go ahead.
Well, starting off with Philadelphia at the number one position, it seems like they've been picking number one for about 10 years now. And but they're back at the number one position this year. I personally believe that Brandon Ingram is a lot closer to Ben Simmons. I think you're almost getting the 1A and 1B in this draft. I think the intriguing part of the draft, I think, will start at the third pick. I think the Celtics at number three can go about four or five different ways here. So I think that's when the draft will start getting interesting. I still have Simmons going to the Sixers. But I think if you're the Lakers here, I think Ingram is the better fit for them, believe it or not. So I think if you're the Lakers, it's a win-win at the number two spot. Our Lakers desperately need some shooters on their team. Even though a lot of the workouts I've been seeing, Ben Simmons looked like he's improved his outside shot, but I want to see it in a game form because I don't think I saw him hit a three all season with LSU. And so until I can see it in a game, I'll trust Ingram's jump shot before I can trust Simmons. So I think if you're the Lakers, Ingram is a better fit for their team. So I think that's a win-win for both of those teams. Number three, as I mentioned, I think this is when the draft really starts. The Celtics can go about four or five ways here. Right now I have them going with the stretch four big man, Dragan Bender from Croatia, played professionally in Israel here. I think he's got a lot of skill, great shooting ability, and actually some pretty good post moves as well. And right now I'm going to say this is the route that the Celtics are going to go. But they, like I said, they can go Jaylen Brown here. They can go Buddy Hield. They have a lot of options here that they can go at number three. Number four, Jaylen Brown, one of the fastest risers in his draft, small forward from California, strong, great athletic ability. Have him going to Phoenix at number four. Minnesota, Jamal Murray, great shooter from Kentucky. Have him going to the number five spot. And the Pelicans at number six, Chris Dunn, point guard from Providence. He's a stat sheet stuffer, 6'4", can get to the paint. He's got great athletic ability, great vision on the court, great passing ability, somebody that the Pelicans can use. Number seven, Buddy Hield to Oklahoma, from Oklahoma, going to the Denver Nuggets. Number eight, Sacramento, Marquese Chriss, the small forward from Washington, another great athlete, long arms, long wingspan. Number nine, Toronto, Henry Ellison, power forward from Marquette. Yeah, this guy's a physical player, can score on a low block. He's got some defensive liabilities. That's something he's going to have to work on in his pro game. Number 10, Milwaukee, Domantas Sabonis. Y'all know who Sonny is, right? Arvydas Sabonis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big Arvydas.
Yeah, yeah. Big man from Gonzaga going number 10 to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'll skip down to the Atlanta Hawks. Hasn't taken Wade Baldwin, combo guard from Vanderbilt, can play the point, can play the two, 6'4". You know, the Hawks possibly going to be moving Jeff Teague this offseason, so they could possibly going to need him for some depth purposes at the number 21 spot. So we'll get to some of the other teams, either in this show or some future shows, and we'll possibly see them doing in the NBA draft. Any thoughts, fellas?
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're right. And real quiet life for Philadelphia with the logjam they have up front in that front court. I want to say that Ingram may be a better fit for them as well in terms of them needing some outside shooting. Because if you get Ben Simmons there, you almost have to move Noel or Okafor to free up some spots, and then you got Saric coming over from Europe, who said he's coming this year to join Philadelphia. So that's going to further crowd the front court for Philadelphia. So they really have more of a decision to make than people think. And another one that I like to yours, but I think it's going to be interesting, is Dunn. He's moving up really fast as well in this draft. And if he goes to Minnesota, where you already have a Rubio and you have a Levine and you have a Wiggins already in that backcourt, that's also going to kind of give a bit of a log jam. And I know, you know, Rubio's got a little bit of a hefty contract, and some of these teams that, you know, don't need a scoring point guard but just need a floor general, I wonder if they would call Minnesota up if they took Dunn to gain some interest in what they could give up to give Rubio.
Yeah, I think if you're the Pelicans, as a fan, as a general manager, you're hoping Dunn falls to him at six, because I think he's, in my personal opinion, I think he's the third best player in the draft. And so I think this is a guy, I think if you're the Pelicans, you're hoping to see if you can get him or Buddy Hield at that number six position. But Chris Dunn is a player I really like.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing you. You're dead on about Boston real fast, because Boston has all that – that draft pick capital, especially for that deal with the Nets where they gave up, you know, Pierce and Garnett for those three first-round picks. So Boston, I totally agree with you, is the wild card here, because they could really swing for the fences and give up, you know, the Nets are going to be terrible. So they could give up the Nets pick in 1 year, and then they're picking another year and give two first-round picks and try to get an established star coming out of this draft. So totally agree with you, Rob. Boston is definitely the wild card of this draft.
Yeah, I think that's when the draft really starts, at that number three spot. They can go several different ways. And, you know, I mentioned Chris Dunn and Buddy Hield, but also another player I like up there is Jaylen Brown. I like him a lot, too. I think he's going to be a real great player out on the open floor in the NBA. He can strong, can get to the rack. If he improves his outside shot a little more, I think he can be a really good player at the next level, which I have him going number four right now. To Phoenix. And Boston's got three first-round picks in this draft. I have him at 16, taking DeJounte Murray, combo guard from Washington. Then at 23, another guard, Malik Beasley from Florida State, another guy who can fill it up a little bit too. So they have three first-round picks. And, you know, the obviously the guys at 16 and 23, you're hoping to just get some guys that can help you with your bench. And number three, you're really hoping you can hit a home run at that spot for a player that, you know, potentially could be a star, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the player that you said for the Hawks, Rob? What was it? What was his name?
Wade Baldwin, combo guard from Vanderbilt.
Wade Baldwin, okay. I don't see this guy.
He's
okay.
Another guy that's climbing in the draft, too. He might, by the time the draft comes around, he might not even be there at 21, but we'll see. He's got a guy that could possibly move into the top 15, too.
I was looking at NBADraft.net. I didn't see him on here. Oh, there he is. Okay. A little later. All right. Really quickly, I was going to say just kind of to mimic what JQ said about the 76ers here. There's word on the street is that definitely there's a trade with the Hawks. We're talking about trading Jeff Teague to them for Nerlens Noel and Nick Stauskas. That's kind of what we've been talking about here in Atlanta. So we'll see about that. I'm on the – on the thing that I think Buddy Hield is going to be a really good player, man. So if I am the Hawks, about that fifth pick, I would, like, reach out to Minnesota and say, hey, you want Jeff Teague? And if Buddy Hill's sitting there, that's who I would love to get. I would trade him Jeff Teague, our number 21 pick, just to make that happen. You know, I'd love to see that because I think that he's going to be a pretty good player. I'm not going to say he's like Steph Curry-like, but I just think, you know, he's going to be a really good shooter. So something that keep in mind about that too, man. That's just me. I know, Rob, you said you love Chris Dunn, so we all have players that we actually like, too. So that's kind of what I think from that vantage point, too. Because right now, as you said, Boston is kind of like holding that. If they take him at number three, that's a whole other different conversation. But they can go big. They've already got Isaiah Thomas. It seems like they got a good core of younger, smaller players. So I think, like you said, Dragan Bender would kind of be a good fit for them at number three. But you don't really know what they're going to do. It seems like it could be anything. So that's my kind of two cents on that, too. So – anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up the mock draft, guys, that you want to say about that, Rob, or what?
Well, just last, real quick on the Celtics, I would just say Bender's in play, obviously. Jaylen Brown's in play, and I would say Buddy Hield. Even though I have Hield going seven, if the Celtics don't take Hield, I can see him dropping down to seven. But he's definitely still in play with that number three pick. I think those are the three guys right now who the Celtics are trying to make a decision on.
Go ahead, JQ.
No, I agree. The only concern I would have with Boston was that they would have a small backcourt with Isaiah Thomas and Buddy Hield, which might give them a little reservation. But I agree, Buddy Hield just gets buckets, and I think I totally agree with you, Dre. He could be really the X factor player in this draft, where Boston is the X factor team.
Like I said, we'll see how that plays out, man. That's a great skill to have, is to be able to shoot the ball too. So it's something that we can have moving forward too. I guess just as we get ready to wrap up the draft talk and stuff like that too, it's coming around the corner. About 15 days until that, which is going to be pretty exciting, to say the least. And I guess as we kind of transition here, I know I don't know why Rob showed some love here for the Falcons here and whatnot too. So we got about 5 minutes. I'm going to save that possibly. Not sure the Chicago Cubs are kind of doing their thing here, Rob. So you want to talk about that really briefly here about the most dominant season right now?
Well, I mean, if you look at the stats, obviously, you know, in order to be considered the best team of all time, you got to at least win the whole thing. And so we'll have to see if they're able to close the deal at the end of the season. As we all know, the Cubs have not won a World Series in 107 years. But as of last night, I mean, they were 40-16, which is, pretty incredible. With a team ERA of 2.60. And, the record of all time was the 1920 St. Louis Cardinals at 2.4. And right now they're at 2.6 with a team ERA. It's incredible. I mean, they're on pace to win 116 games if they keep this up. Only two teams that have done that were the 2001 Mariners, who didn't win the World Series, by the way, and the 1906 Chicago Cubs. So we have to see if they can close the deal. But right now they're on pace to do some incredible things. I think they're on pace to allow 79 fewer runs than the record that St. Louis allowed, 472 in 1968. So right now they're getting it done with pitching and defense, and of course, you know, great timely hitting as well.
JQ?
Yeah, what they're doing is ridiculous, and I hate that we're in their division. We're going to have a problem with them for a little bit. But Arrieta and Lester and Lackey as, you know, a top three is awesome, really. Arrieta's just acting a fool. Then you look at that lineup with a Rizzo and a Bryant and a Soler. And if Jason Hayward could ever get it together, overcome these injuries and get it together at the plate, I mean, I don't know where you go to get outs really in that lineup when they all get cranking. They're going to be a load to deal with, and I think they got the best manager in the game in Joe Maddon. You got to give Theo Epstein a ton of credit and the Wrigley family for spending the money and getting Epstein and getting Maddon. I mean, the Cubs are for real.
30 seconds apiece, really quickly. What about your thoughts, Rob, about Ricardo Allen? I'm not sure why you put it in there. You're trying to classify me. Go ahead.
Well, you know, real interesting story. Guy is only about 5'9", 186 pounds, playing safety in the NFL. And he's only eating about 2 to 3 meals a day, and now he has to, you know, eat a little bit more. They're trying to bulk him up a little bit more. So he's going to the old-fashioned peanut butter and jelly, you know, stuff we eat as a
jelly.
Kid, eating it 6 to 7 times a day. Oh, yeah, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter. But, yeah, 6 to 7 times a day.
Where they at?
Trying to bulk up. So, you know, pretty cool story.
Yeah,
he's
going through that tried and true method of bulking up, is that peanut butter and jelly, man, and some protein shakes that can't be mad at him. Get your weight up, bro.
All right, JQ, you got a minute here, or 30 seconds. Just go ahead and do your wrap up there. Anything you want to say before we wrap up this edition of the show?
Oh, man, real quiet. Like, I want to, RIP to Sean Rooks, who passed away as well today. Played about 12 years in the league, was assistant coach. It's kind of fallen under the radar because of that and Kimbo Slice. I mean, 2016 has just been crazy. You know, RIP to all of our fallen soldiers here. Appreciate everybody for tuning in to the OT portion, and we'll holler at you next week.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Rob. Wrap it up.
Yeah, stay tuned. Once again, please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have updates on all the things that's happening in the sports world. For all the two fans in America that's going to be paying attention to the Braves and the Reds, JQ is going to give you updates from that game on Monday night. So definitely be tuning in. And then we will also be giving you updates of course, on our show for next week. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're going to keep you updated, people. Good night.
JK, I will be there, except I have to host trivia. But have a good one, guys.